You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I'm here to help you not run away from home. If you want to run away a little bit for like a night at a hotel, like by yourself, nothing scandalous, I think that that's fine. But let's like not long-term run away, okay? So I wanted to tell you about a strategy to struggle well that I stumbled upon this past week of Halloween. So I never dress up because I'm a stick in the mud. I mean, I just never, there's nothing my heart is yearning to dress up as. But then my friend Amber, the one who made all the Struggle Well shirts for us, she asked all of us girls in the neighborhood, hey, does anybody want to be a crayon with me? I have a bunch of different color shirts. And she was hoping for like maybe one other person. Well, I don't remember how many, if we had like 9 or 10 of us were like, yes, make me a shirt. And so anyway, we all were different color crayons. And because of leggings, it was just going to be leggings and a shirt. I wasn't going to do that to my neighborhood. So I made a tutu to cover up my middle section. Anyhow, I did not know that glitter tulle, the glitter is not actually stay on the tulle. I feel like that's just for so you'll buy it, because all that glitter came off onto my floor. It came off into my eyelashes. It was in my shoes. It was everywhere. It's in all the grout of my floor. But I realized as I looked down at my nasty floor, it was also sparkling, which if you don't look very closely, could be misconstrued as the sparkling that comes with cleanliness. So anyway, I would say struggle well this week by don't mop, don't sweep, just sprinkle some silver glitter everywhere and people might mistake your house as clean. I think it might work. All right, so this week I am talking to my friend Trisha Goyer. She has written, I think she said 70 books. What? She has 13 people living in her house. She has biological kids. She has adopted kids. She has been taking care of her grandmother for 20 years. Nobody thought it was going to go that long, but they certainly have learned a lot from her and they love her dearly. It is just a lot going on over in that Goyer house. She recently wrote a book called The Grumble-Free Year. And I think at first it seems like, oh my gosh, I can't even not grumble for 5 minutes. How did this family of 13 do it for a year? But it's not like that. She doesn't even try to pretend like they do anything close to perfect. She's very, very real and encouraging. So this show is for you if you need to stop grumbling, if you need to help your kids stop grumbling, if you have kids who are adopted or biological, or kids who are not listening to you very well, or if you don't know when they should start wearing makeup or using cell phones or having boyfriends. We covered all kinds of things. And I basically just shared all of the ways that I'm doing not a great job. And Trisha told me how she does it. And I learned lots. So I think that you will learn a lot too. So let's go ahead and get started. Good morning, Trisha. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Emily?
Good. I'm good. You're in Arkansas, right?
Yes.
I've never been there. Is it lovely?
It is. And when we first were going to move here, I'm like, Arkansas, you've got to be kidding. I just had a bad image of Arkansas.
Yeah.
But there's like rolling hills and tons of trees and
so nice. The
weather is awesome.
Okay. I have not been there yet, but it's not far from Texas. I have no good reason to not have been there.
I know.
Where'd you come from?
Okay. You're going to love this. I grew up in California.
Okay.
In a small town called Weed.
You're kidding.
No.
That's hysterical. Okay.
And then I was a cheerleader
okay. At
Weed High.
Weed High, man.
Uh-huh. So one of the cheers was Weed High is the best high, is the best high you can get.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love that. Is that place still in existence?
Yeah, yeah. You can go. They have like a weed mercantile where you can buy like weed t-shirts.
Yeah. At high school. Wow. That's really something. Okay. That's so a great tidbit.
I grew up in California.
Okay.
And then John and I, after we got married, we lived in Montana for 15 years and then we moved to Arkansas.
Wow. Why did you move from Montana to Arkansas?
He got a job at Family Life.
Okay.
And he's not working with them anymore, but we love the South. Like, yeah. Everyone's so nice. And you go to the dentist and they're playing Christian music and the weather is awesome because I don't really like snow and Montana had a lot of snow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I started going to this Brazilian wax place, get my legs waxed, and they have Christian music playing. And then I went yesterday to get a manicure and they had Christian music playing. I was like, I like it. I like it. I like that we can still do that right now.
Although when we first moved down here, this lady's like, listen, everyone's really nice, but they really just want to know your business. I'm like, well, that's kind of true, but I still like it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to know people's business. Come on. We all kind of like that. All right. So you have 11 children for people who don't know you.
Well, I have 10 children. Yeah. And my grandma.
10. Because one thing, I thought it said 11. Oh, 11 family members.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
And it's your actual grandma, not the grandma of your kids. So you call her grandma. I had to.
No, it's my grandma.
Figure that out. Your grandma.
And she just turned 90 last week. And she's lived with us for 20 years.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So from what I understood in the book, it was like recent, but it's not.
No.
20 years. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, honey, can my grandma move in with us? Not knowing that 20 years later.
Oh, wow.
We're still taking care of grandma.
Wow. So was she in poor health 20 years ago?
Well, my grandpa passed away. Like, he had cancer, and we knew he was going to pass away.
Yeah.
Because he was in poor health. And so they moved in with us, and I helped care for him.
Okay.
And I think, like, I'm the most stable person in all of my family.
Okay.
There really be a lot of unstable people. And so I think my grandpa was, like, wanting to know that she'd be taken care of.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's like, you live with Trisha. She'll take care of you. And so she just stayed, and she's been with us for 20 years.
My goodness. Okay. And you've written 70 books.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I got to tell you, okay, so just for the listeners, you recently wrote a book called The Grumble Free Year. Most of your books are not nonfiction like this, right?
Right. Mostly I started writing like historical fiction. That is like the thing, I don't know, that it's kind of my fun.
Okay.
So The Grumble Free Year, and then before that was Calming Angry Kids. Those are more like real practical parenting stuff because I have all these kids and people would just be asking me questions all the time. So I kind of split and just started doing both.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, this book, it is so good. It is so good. So encouraging. You don't feel like you're messing everything up. When you read about your life, you're like, okay, like I'm on the right track here. The things I'm experiencing, the things I'm struggling with are not that far out in left field, because Trisha's doing it too with 10 kids. I love at the end how each chapter ends with like, your turn. This is maybe do this thing. You know, like, I found the whole book so encouraging. And also the Grumble Free Year, it just does sound like an impossible dream that if you got to not grumble for a whole year, and I can't get through one day, and you have 10 kids. You know, like, so at first, I can understand how it could feel like, overwhelming, but you are very honest to say, I forgot we were even doing this challenge for a while.
I did. We were like caring for grandma. Yeah. And there was like times I'd be like, guys, we're supposed to be not grumbling. And this is like the worst. I mean, sometimes just because you're in the middle of it, it's worse because you see it all the time. Like before, it's just like part of your life. But now that we're actually trying to work on it, it just stands out even more. So, yeah.
Okay. So how did this whole idea come about? And were your kids on board? I bet they weren't.
Yeah, well, so John and I talked for a while because just all the grumbling. And, you know, we adopted 7 kids, 6 of them from foster care. And we've dealt with the anger. And I mean, not that that's completely over either. We just had episodes the other night with a very angry child. But overall, like we were settled. But there's just a lot of grumbling. So every time I tell someone, you need to go do your chores, and they'd be like, all the grumbling and the eye rolling. And
I love how you said, though, the one adopted kid told you, I will do anything you say. I'm just so thankful to be here. And you said that lasted 24 hours.
Like, I don't even know if it's 24 hours. Like, she was so happy. Like, a family's adopting me. I'll do anything you want. I'm like, wow, this is cool. No, that did not last. And so, yeah, it's just the eye rolling, the slamming the covers. So it's not, and we talked about that, like, at the beginning, like, okay, grumbling is all these things. It's not just talking back or talking under your breath. It is when I tell you to do something and you huff and roll your eyes, which that drives me crazy more than anything. Yeah. Like, the preteen... whatever, or, oh, that just gets me. And so it's not even like it's a big thing. Like, my kids are like, we're not drinking. We're not sleeping with our boyfriends. We're not running away, you know, all this stuff. And we're like, yes, but your attitude. And so we actually were on a road trip. I got asked to speak in Seattle, and we live in Little Rock, Arkansas. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, oh, the kids have never really even been out of the state. So we did a road trip, and we got to Seattle, and it's like, okay, we have to do something. Like, so John and I are like, we're going to do this. We're going to do a year. And we really talked like what is going to keep us going and not give up. So we told them we'd take them on a family trip if we all worked at it and tried. Okay. And so it really, because I knew if it's like going to be a week or whatever, or just on the trip home, it would just be whatever. We would never work really focus on it. So,
yeah, I love that you, if everyone is trying, because I would say if everyone nails it, for a year. It's just not, I tend to just set myself up for failure. So I love you're realistic about it. So you really, it says in your book, you're truly trying to focus on the character stuff, less about the behaviors, which those are the easiest things to want to go after, but it's not. We got to go after the heart part. So what I loved about your book is that you mentioned that you were surprised how angry you got at your kids being angry. And I have seen that. I just feel like, as the adult, I can zoom out and know all that we're providing for them, how great they have it compared to people in other countries. Like, I know all these things that I feel like they should know, and they don't care, and they feel like their lives are the worst. So how do you not get angry when they get angry? Like, what's working for that?
Well, first of all, if I get angry, then I'm like exploding or raising my voice, and then suddenly it's not about what they're doing, it's about what I'm doing. And then they're like, you're yelling at me. So just knowing like when I could keep my mouth shut. I mean, just the other day on the way to Bible study, one of my girls was mouthing off, and I answered her once and then just like stayed quiet because I knew she was not going to like she was already escalated. She was mad at her sister. And I knew like me getting on her over and over again wasn't going to help. And so later when she'd calmed down, I was able to talk to her about it. But I mean, really just like closing my mouth. Which is the hardest thing. Or me, I'm like, I'm just going to go in my room for a couple minutes and just like give myself a chance to calm down. And it really, it is a model for them. Mm-hmm. And I've had kids even later say like, how did you stay so calm when she was talking to you like that or whatever? Mm. Not that I'm always perfect, but it's just, I mean, we're adults and we have a fully developed brains, which they don't have fully developed brains. Yes. So if it's hard for us, I know it's hard for them. And just me like first being a model and just keeping my mouth shut is just, and setting up a quick prayer, like, God, help me in the moment.
I think sometimes I don't want to go in my room because I'll never come out. But realizing, like, if you go in and, like, calm down, then you will eventually emerge again.
Right. And then when you emerge, like, everyone's, like, waiting, like, what's going to happen?
Wow, that's good. I don't know who told me recently. I think it was probably my counselor because I'm going to counseling with a lady who works with my daughter's counselor because we're working through some stuff. And she just said, don't throw the ball back. And I was like, what? That's amazing. Just not fighting back makes it very difficult for them to. And then it's just so clear that they're in the wrong. I don't want to join them in the wrong. That we're both wrong.
Yeah. And then I'm always like apologizing later, which I mean, it's good to them see me apologize, but it's like, I don't need to go there. Like, I just tell myself, I'm the adult. I don't need to go there with them.
The Mom Struggling Well podcast has been very faithfully supported by PrepDish. And I want to let you know, I use PrepDish in my own house and I love it. So how it works is my friend Allison at PrepDish plans the meals. She sends you an email with the meals, the shopping list, and the order to prepare everything so that you're cooking everything in the oven at the same time, and then you're cutting everything at the same time, and then you store five meals And then all throughout the week, it takes just a couple minutes of preparation and you have healthy meals that you made yourself. So you've saved money, but you also that day are not having to slave away because you did all the work. So just yesterday, I spent 3 hours in the kitchen and I have breakfast, lunch, and dinner for my family for the whole week. And it's stuff like salmon with a sauce I made out of dill that I'm telling you tastes amazing. And we're having chicken with an herb rub that I made myself and again, smelled my whole house up like heaven. If you have not tried Prep Dish yet, I encourage you to give it a try. If you go to prepdish.com/MSW, you can try it free for a couple of weeks. You have nothing to lose. So again, that's prepdish.com/MSW. What does it do though internally? Like for me, I'm okay at, I don't yell a lot. I don't typically explode. That's something that God has really been at work on me over, you know, the past 10 years of parenting. But internally, I just feel it just does a lot to me inside. How do you untangle that?
Yeah, I'll even get to the point where I'll get like chest pains and I'll be like wanting to tell them like, guys, you're stressing me out because there's
literally
a lot of them.
Killing me.
There's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And just dealing with them. And I think, I mean, really, you know, getting away, getting quiet with God. And that's why I love like my time in the morning to kind of like process these things and pray for this kid. And I know, well, especially because the adopted ones, I mean, they've been abandoned over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And when they act out, I need to step forward back to them. So even last night, one of our girls was upset about something and she didn't like my answer to something. And so then she's mouthing off and then she goes to her room and she's texting me. And so I walk up, I'm like, we can talk about this. Like you know, and she still continued on. I mean, she couldn't see why I didn't give her what she wanted.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this is not going to happen, but I'll be here to listen. And it never like got to the place where she apologized, but just me being there and like, I'm here to talk and me staying calm, even when she's upset, I think she needs me to continue to pursue her and pursue our relationship because everyone else in her life has, when she's lashed out, they've moved her to a different foster home. They've, you know, moved her on. And so I told my husband last night, even when like nothing was resolved in the moment, I think me just going up there, just telling her I'm available to listen, just really made a big difference. And today she's fine, gives me a hug, like everything's good. And it's just that pursuing them over and over. And I don't even think that has to be kids that have been adopted or have trauma in their life. Because any kid, they just want to know that even when they mess up, you're going to be there for them.
What about, and this is just me letting you in on my own problems, but there's like a, you don't want to be completely used as a doormat and abused. And it feels like when they don't ever circle back and be like, yeah, that was messed up. I shouldn't have done that.
My kids usually circle back, but it's usually like the next day. So like this time she has not apologized. I would say probably 80% of the time she'll say, sorry, I just was mad about that. And I took it out on you. So she's learned. And I think that comes from me apologizing, you know, but I most of the time they do circle back and they'll come. Even our other daughter last night said something to my husband that I think was kind of rude. And 11:30 at night, we were just getting in bed, the knock on the door. She's like, I couldn't go to bed until I apologized.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
But it's been like, that's a miracle compared to where things were before. And I think it is just pursuing them, you know, being gentle with them. And then, I mean, getting in God's word with them. We homeschool, so we do have the opportunity. And one of my daughters was saying, would you rather have me be book smart, like math and science, or Bible smart? And I'm like, Bible smart, because that's going to impact every part of your life. Like, yes, we're still going to have to do algebra, but you know, we do spend like the first 30 minutes in the Bible and reading stuff and talking about it. We're doing the Daniel Bible study with our community group, community Bible study. Now we're studying Daniel.
Okay.
And so we're getting lots of good stuff. And it's like, Daniel's speaking to them when I don't have to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
About not settling, not going, doing what everyone else is doing, standing up for your faith. And so it is like modeling, but it also is God's word. And I think whether it was the grumble for year or dealing with anger, I can tell them all I want, what to do and what not to do. But it is going to be God's spirit, God's word that is going to change them on the inside.
Yeah.
Instead of me just trying to direct things. And when we first started the Grumble for a year, it was like, let's do this, this, and this. And I'm such a doer. Like, I'm such a list. And those things that I set up did not work. Like, I'm like, this is not working. But it was a time when we were able to read a Bible story, or they'd hear my grandma praying, you know, or something like that would change them where I was. I didn't have to. So I think we forget that, like, God is at work in them and he wants to work in them. We just have to give him the opportunity by giving them his word.
Yeah. Okay. So what does that look like? Because I know people are going to be saying, well, what do you do? What's the right way to do it? Obviously there isn't one, but what is working for you and your gaggle of people?
Yeah. And I think we've done different things over time. So one thing that we were doing a couple years ago when I was doing the Grumble for a year is we had prayer journals.
Okay.
And so they had to write a scripture a day. And I would give them, like, if they wanted me to find something, or they say, can you help me find a scripture on hope or whatever? But they were to, like, write out a scripture a day, and then they would write out things that they're thankful for and things they want to pray for. And then we would go around and we would all share it. And there's, you know, six kids. And so they would all share it, and then we would all pray out loud. And some kids, I mean, my little 7-year-old, he was 7 at the time, he's like, thank you for mom, dad, and I want a puppy. That was, I mean, it's just, it's at their level. But then I saw, like, the older girls started praying for the fruit of the spirit. And it's funny because sometimes they'd be mad and they'd write, like, smote the wickedness of the earth. Or I don't know, they just write the most random scriptures just, like, because they knew they had to do it. But they didn't want to do anything uplifting. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. You're writing out a scripture. It's okay. So it was, that was just like a daily practice. And that's what we did every day. And like I said, now we are doing the Bible study with Daniel. So I have the same Bible study book as the 3-year-old girls. And we read the scriptures together. We answer questions together, like fill in the questions. The little kids are also studying Daniel. Theirs are kind of like more crossword puzzles and circle. So I'll do it with the 3 big girls just because it's more in depth. And then I'll take time with the little kids and do it with them. I mean, and it does take time, like, because 2 of the kids have the same book, another one has a different book, and the 3 older ones. I mean, that takes time to work on all those things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I don't put the time in, and I think it helps that I have adult kids, and I'm like, it goes quick. Like, they're going to be adults. They're going to have to deal with stuff in life, and we need to make this a priority. So,
yeah.
Like, the prayer journal thing. You know, I just got something off of Amazon that's just like a prayer journal, and it's the habit more than like whatever book or whatever thing. I mean, you can even get like a 3-ring binder and write prayers or scripture, and it doesn't matter the tool. It's just the habit of doing it. And really, I mean, if you do something for a couple of weeks, then they're like, oh, this is something that we do, you know, so.
That's true. Yeah, I think you're right. So much of it's modeling, like us modeling, having time with God and doing habits that are good for us is leading by example. It's not easy.
No.
So you said that you, you're slow about phones and about cars and about dating. And I'm sure you get a lot of pushback about that from your kids. Talk to me about those decisions and how you make them. Because I'm assuming they're different for each kid. Or do you have like a rule of ages or whatever?
Yeah, we do. Well, we've kind of set up rules. And like, you know, I raised 3 kids that didn't even get cell phones until they were 18 because it wasn't a thing when they were younger. My oldest is 30. I mean, that tells you, like, we've been doing this for a while. But I just know, like, when it comes to phones, if they save up their own money, they can get a phone after they're 15. And they have to buy it themselves, and they have to have money to buy a plan. So first of all, they have to find a job. They have to show responsibility. They have to save up their money. We have 2 16-year-olds right now. They're twins. One of them went the day she turned 16, filled out a whole bunch of applications and went and got a job like 3 days later. The other one, she doesn't have a phone and she's not really motivated, and that's okay with me.
Yeah.
And even with their phones, like, my husband is in internet security, so he has them really locked down. Okay. There's only certain hours they could be on it. Okay. You know, so like when they go to bed, she uses her phone for alarm, but all internet, like phone, everything's like she can't access any of that. So
okay.
I just know there's so much yucky stuff out there. And so really just want to protect them as much as possible. They do have tablets where they have games and stuff. Again, so much is locked down. Those don't even turn on until after 2 p.m. So we make sure they're not trying to get on it when we're supposed to be doing homeschooling. So that, and even with driving, you know, they have to save up half the money to go to driver's ed. And okay. So my 16-year-olds haven't, and they're not driving. So, okay. But I do want them to show some responsibility
yeah.
instead of just handing them this stuff where, I mean, there's so many things they can do with it and get into trouble with it and mm-hmm. sneak around with it. And they have made bad choices, like even in, like one girl was finding bad stuff on Twitter. You know, if they're searching for it, they're going to find a way. But it does give us a chance to talk to them about it. But just, I found that if we make them take initiative and have responsibility, if they want it, they can do it. And then they care for it more. Like they're going to take care of their stuff.
For sure. Huh. What about makeup? Because I have a girl who wants makeup in her life. And I think we're not there yet.
Yeah. I always did 13 was light makeup. So at 13, okay. we could do some like colored lipstick, maybe some mascara. One of my girls loves makeup. Like she will sit there and watch those YouTube tutorials. Yes. And when she's the one that also has the job. But okay. she will come down, like she'll be getting ready for work and she'll run down to throw her shirt in the dryer. And she has like all these lines on her face. And I'm like, what is that? She's like, it's my contour. I'm like, I like put some foundation on, some powder, some mascara. Like she does the contour, the this and
wow.
that. And she like, that's just her hobby. That's the uh-huh. thing she loves. If she's not doing something, I will threaten to take away her makeup. That's like, she'd rather have me take away her phone than her makeup. I don't know.
That
but that's
so
just
funny.
Like her personality.
Yeah.
And so even though we did 13 light makeup during her year, it got darker and darker, but it's like only, I mean, she doesn't do it every day. So it'd be like going out somewhere. She'd like do makeup.
Okay.
But makes sense. Yeah, my little girls, I mean, so I have 9, 12, 15, 16 and 16. She's almost 15. The 15-year-old, she doesn't even care. Like,
okay.
she doesn't even do mascara or anything. So I think it really is a personality thing.
Okay.
When it comes to kids, whether it's something they're into or not. And I mean, I think there's other things like that, you know, choosing your hills to die on. Makeup's not the top of the list of me worrying about it.
That's a really good point.
As long as they're not looking like really bad when yeah. they leave the house or like, you know. And so my one daughter, if we do something, she'll like maybe my 15-year-old maybe want me to put on some mascara for her and like help her a little bit. But otherwise, she's not interested in it at all.
Breast cancer runs in my family. And so I am very hardcore about natural deodorants. The problem is a lot of times they don't work, which is kind of their one job. But I found one that actually does work. And I want to tell you about it. It's called Hug Me by Bloom. It lasts for 24 hours. You don't have to reapply it, as if we have time for that anyway. Most antiperspirants that you get at the store have aluminum in it, which gets absorbed into our bloodstream, and it's been linked to cancer. They actually find them inside tumors. You can find traces of the aluminum. Gross. Hug Me deodorant is also paraben-free, and there's no added fragrance. So how it works is that it contains probiotics, which encourages your body to make more good bacteria, which reduces the bad bacteria, because the bad bacteria is where the actual odor comes from. Did you know that? So interesting. The New York Post rated it the best deodorant ever. So I'm not the only one who loves it. And the best thing is you get to try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, they will give you your money back. Hug Me by Bloom keeps you feeling fresh and super huggable. So right now, our listeners are going to get 25% off your first stick and free shipping when you go to bloom.com/SWP. That's bloom.com/SWP for 25% off your first stick and free shipping. If you don't love it and feel amazing when you wear it, you can return it for a full refund. No questions asked. That's bloom.com/SWP. So a couple weeks ago, I discovered Everlywell. It's an amazing at-home wellness test that helps you better understand your health. So I did my Everlywell at-home lab test and tested myself for various food sensitivities. I should be getting my results back maybe tomorrow or the next day, and I can't wait. One food sensitivity test measures so many different foods to see if you are sensitive, even as specific as when they measure eggs, they'll tell you if you're sensitive to the egg white or the egg yolk. They even test your sensitivity for different spices, including coffee, including black tea. What? I'm a little nervous about that. And if they say that I'm sensitive and I can't have cheese, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But anyway, we've all heard of those elimination diets. And those, I mean, that doesn't sound like something I can fit into my life, but an at-home lab test that tells me the same information, yes, please. So Everlywell offers more than 30 different at-home lab tests, from things like fertility to thyroid and heart health. The instructions were very easy to follow. And then every test is reviewed by a physician, comes from a certified lab, and they're sent directly to your mobile device so you can view them and share them with your healthcare providers in the future. It's such a great system. I'm looking forward to whatever Everlywell says I'm sensitive to as far as my food so that I can make changes needed and feel even better. So to start understanding your health the way I will in a couple days, check out Everlywell today. For 15% off of an Everlywell at-home lab test, visit everlywell.com/MSW and enter code MSW. That's everlywell.com/MSW, and the code is MSW for 15% off of your test. Everlywell, at-home lab tests, your answers, your way. I have a question just circling back to, like, kids with trauma. And so I have kids who are saying, like, you're not even my mom, and which I'm sure you've had. That's, like, something I'm confident you've been told. And, like, I got to get out of here. This place is the worst. And y'all are abusing me because, like, I was trying to do, like, a family art night. And so I got called, like, an abusive mother because I was trying to get us all to, like, do something fun together. It was a disaster. Anyway, so we want to stay present and, like you're saying, move towards them. But I also want them to know, like, I mean, you don't have to call me mom. Like, it's nice to have somebody to call mom.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I found myself probably messed that up, but I said, you know, you're not my prisoner. You know where the door is. Like, if you need to find a suitable other option. But I probably now, listening to what you said, I should have been like, I'm always here for you. And obviously I am, but, like,
yeah, it is. So, well, it's so hard when they get mouthy, because mine do get mouthy. And, like, one of them, I think it hurt the most because she's not the one that usually gets mouthy all the time. Mm. I think the ones that, like, are like that all the time, you just kind of get used to it. And this other one, I mean, she was just like, you're not my mom. And I see the real you, and everyone else thinks you're so great, and I know the truth. And I just remember, like, just tears filling my eyes, because first of all, I don't expect it from this person,
yes,
you know, this daughter.
Yes, yes.
And then just, like, it was like all my core stuff of, like, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe if they really, you know, all this. She just, like, hit, like, the nail on the head with all of it. And it just, like, was so hard. And I did. I, like, went to my room and just, like, cried for, like, 30 minutes. Like, So then my husband went and talked to her. He's just like, what's going on? I couldn't even tell him. Like, I was so upset. And so he went and talked to her. And, like, probably 2 hours later, she came down and she apologized. And I was like, whatever. Like, I wasn't even ready to accept that apology. But the next day, like, she brought it up again. She's like, Mom, I'm really sorry. And I, like, tears were even, like, coming back in my eyes. She's like, look at me. You are not that person I said. You are my mom. And so that was, like, really, like, okay. You know, here I am, the mom, like, totally, like, melting, whatever. But I think so many times, like, well, first of all, they are fearful of relationships. And it's easier to get angry, to get mad, to put the wall up than to be vulnerable. Like, vulnerable is really hard for them.
Are you seeing vulnerable coming out, though, as you keep moving towards them? Are you seeing them be vulnerable?
Yeah, a lot more. Yeah,
because I got a kid that's mostly walls. I cannot get to them.
Yeah. And some of those times it's like, the last thing I'm going to do is go spend time with this kid. But it's like, hey, I'm going to go to the store. You want to go with me? We can pick out your favorite ice cream. I don't know. It's just like trying to find ways to keep going forward. But it is so hard. And I think, like, any other relationship we had, if someone was treating us like that, we'd just be done with it.
Like, that is what I'm like, if you were my friend, I would block your number.
Yeah, it's so true. And so it is so hard. And there's been times, like, seriously, I'm like, God, like, really? This is what you've called me to? Like, I could be doing all kinds of stuff. And I don't know. And I just feel like, yes, this is what I've called you to. And I always think, too, like, where would this child be if it wasn't me continually, like, coming and helping? And we have one that we adopted that is 19 now, but the twins are going to be 18 in a year and a half. And, you know, when they're mad, they're saying, I'm out of here when I'm 18, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's times I'm like, I don't know. we have a year and a half left. I could keep pouring in as much as I want. And they do, like, they know where their biological family is because they have an older sister that aged out of foster care that's okay. connected with them. And even the one that turned 19, she has communication now with her biological mom because they were taken away and they put into foster care. So she does have communication. She's really good about setting boundaries. She's not letting herself get pulled into that again. And it could be like when they turn 18, it could be they take off and they're hanging out with people that are unsuitable. You know, it's like, and John's like, maybe my husband's like, maybe we just need, we're just always going to be the soft place where they can land even when they make bad choices. And so it's like, we could do our best, but you can never know what's going to happen. And so, yeah, we do get those threats. Like, I'm out of here when I'm 18. And I'm like, okay, well, know that we'll be here.
So that's such a better answer. So I will try to employ your answer next time and not point out the door.
Well, it's so funny because like once one of our girls was going to run away. And it's so funny. Yeah. Like she packed a backpack with a goldfish and like $3 and like two changes of clothes. I mean, and she's out of here. And my husband, like instead of arguing with her, he's like, hold up a minute. And she's like walking across our front lawn, like storming off. And she's like 14, I think. And he's like, she's like, what? And he's like, takes a picture of her and he goes, I need a photo so I can show the police who to look for. And she's like, what? And he goes, well, if you're running away, it's not safe out there. I'm going to have to call the police and let them know that you're in danger. And so then she stormed back in the house. But I'm like, that was so smart because I would have been, I don't know, either arguing with them or telling them, you know, to come in. I don't know. He just like took a picture and like, I'm going to have to tell the police what to look for.
Oh my, that's really brilliant. Okay. Gosh, parenting. I had no idea. I had no idea parenting was going to be such an adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny because now, I mean, we've been parenting for 30 years because I had my son when I was 17. And he's 30 now. And then we've, you know, had three kids that we raised all the way through. And then we adopted seven kids. And my husband, he's 52. Every day he's like looking at campers when we retire.
Oh, gosh.
Like, honey, we still have a 9-year-old. He just nine. Like, I know we've been doing this for 30 years, but we still have 9 more years to go. Oh, it is tiring. It's exhausting. Yeah. It's emotionally draining. And I think people are like, how do you write all these books? I'm like, it is a break from like dealing with the people in my life. Yeah. I can go to my room for a couple hours and work on something. And it's easier than parenting.
Man. Going back to the book, I feel like we've been all over the place, but I could talk to you for days and days and days. You said that in the Grumble Free Year, you learned about grumbling styles that y'all have. Tell me about those.
Yeah. So when we first sat down, and that's what, when we sat down to do it, I talked about like grumbling is like the word actually comes from like a French word that means muttering between your teeth. And it's easy, like there's some of us around the table, and I try to include myself in that, that will grumble with our words. But I said, there's others of us who do the rolling their eyes, the slamming the doors, the whining. So our littlest girl, she'll just whine, if she, you know, and basically she doesn't want to do it. So she'll kind of be victimized or she'll whine. Mm. And so I said, we need to think about it. And they actually got into it, like figuring out what their grumbling style was. So we got a whiteboard and we wrote everyone's style down. And then when they saw their dad the other day, they're like, listen to what my grumbling style was. And I think that was just like the thing that helped us see that it's like, it's our insides. It's our attitude. Yes. It's not just like what we do or the words.
Yes. And that there's a lot of ways to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. I loved how you talked about kind of practicing. You had a child who doesn't like to come in at the end of the day before dinner. And so you practiced ahead of time. I'm going to, you know, here, I'm going to practice calling you in and you're going to practice responding kindly. Let's give that a shot. It sounded like that went well. We do a lot of that at home, too. I think it's, we all need practice, but we somehow, I forget that they need practice. They're new here on this whole planet.
Yeah. And I think anything, like if we want, first of all, I think we grumble because things aren't going our way, but really there's usually a solution. So whether it is like practicing with your child to come in or practicing like how to respond to your parent or practicing, I don't know, whatever it is, if you practice ahead of time, you're giving them the tools to know what to do instead of just expecting them to do it. And I think so many times, like as parents, we're like, my kids don't respect me or they don't do help around the house. And it's like, well, we just need to pick one simple thing that we can start, make change instead of grumbling about it. And so, you know, we've done chore charts and, I mean, different things, because I think anytime I just get overwhelmed, I'll think, okay, what is one thing I can do to either train them, to help us all, to come up with a system, instead of just getting in that rut? Because I think we just get in the rut over and over, and then we're depressed, and yeah. Or also even lowering our standards. I'm like, type A, want everything done. And so it's like, we've adopted 7 kids. Like, there's shoes everywhere. There's piles of clothes. There's food left on the table. It's like, okay, it'll be okay. And so lowering my standards and not having those expectations that our house is going to be perfectly clean with all these people has made a big difference too.
Yeah. Okay, man. All right. So, in the end of this year, what have you seen God do in the hearts of you and your children?
Yeah. There's a couple things. So first of all, it's a social experiment book. So we never know what was coming in the year, which is like, you think like, I'm just going to set up these things. Everyone's going to memorize these verses. It's all going to go well. One of the things that happened this year was my grandma broke her back. So she fell and broke her back. And so then that's when I like even forgot for a month we were doing this project, because it was like full-time caring for her. She has dementia, so she wouldn't remember. So she tried to get out of bed, and I had to actually put an alarm by her bed. So when she's trying to get out of bed, like moving her arms, it would alert me and I could go put her brace on. So it was like sometimes 5 times a night.
That chapter stressed me out so much.
Yeah, it was so overwhelming. But the thing was, like, she had a broken back. She can't get out of bed. And she's just praising Jesus. Like, she is just singing and praising. And the kids are like, what in the world? And I'm like, I know, we complain because someone ate the last of the Fruit Loops. And she is in there, yes. And she has a broken back. And so I think overall, like, if you ask the kids, like, what did you learn? They're like, Grandma praised God even when she had a broken back. It just, wow. Like, made it bigger to us that, and I think just her being a Christian, she's been a Christian probably 40 years. It's okay. Just like it, praising God has like, when she couldn't remember that she had a broken back, she could remember to praise God. So
that's amazing.
That
gives me chills. And I think, like you said, also realizing that she was teaching them, like, this is not you doing this grumble free year thing, but God wants to teach them to not grumble. And yeah. He's using your grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would never have picked that. Like, I'm like, if I would have known this, all this stuff was happening this year, I would have not set out to write this book or to work on this or whatever. Yeah. But God knew we needed, like, that's what we need. And then I think, like, there was definitely months I'm like, I don't think we're changing at all. Or, you know, but near the end, so we'd probably been doing it like 10 months. We did that Build-A-Bear Day.
Okay.
Yes. Over at where you go and you get your bear for $1 a day. I mean, $1 per your age. And so I'm like, this will be fun. All the kids. There was hundreds and hundreds of people there. And so there's a huge line, but you're like, okay, yeah, but you know, I said, it'll probably be a couple hours. Well, then like 2 hours passed, 4 hours passed, 6 hours passed.
Goodness.
And I'm telling the kids, and they're like running around and playing with other kids. And, you know, they're going running to get snacks. They've cleaned out my purse, all the money I had. You know? So they just think it's the funnest time as we're waiting in line to go get these bears. And I'm like, I will take you to Walmart and buy you any bear you want. We just have to leave. No. Well, then we get to the very end. Like, we are the next people in. It's 9 o'clock at night. We've been standing there for 9 hours.
You're kidding me. No.
In line. No. So we're the next ones. And I could see these people like talking on their walkie talkies. And I'm like, they are not going to let us get bears. And so I could just, and there's still a big line behind us. And so I asked the security guard, they had all these security guards and people were getting mad because it was taking so long. I mean, it was a big thing. So I asked the security guard, I said, are we going to be able to go in and get a bear? He's like, ma'am, the mall is telling us we have to close. In 30 minutes, there's all these people. He says, we're going to let everyone come in and buy their bear, but no one can stuff them. So you can come back another time and get it stuffed. But everyone is just, if you want a bear, it's going to be a flat bear. And the looks on my kids' faces after standing for 9 hours talking about what bear they want to get. Like, and so in that moment, a couple of my little kids started crying. My big kids were like, that's not fair. Just let us go through. And I'm like, well, that's not fair to the people behind us. And then I'm like, oh, grumble-free year. Of course, were on the threshold of Build-A-Bear. And so I said, guys, remember what we've been learning. We grumble when we're tired. We're grumbling when things don't go our way. We grumble when things are overwhelmed. Like, this is our chance to turn it around. And I'm like, this is the best day ever. You guys got mall food. You got to hang in the mall all day. We got to hang out as a family. We are the first ones to get flat bears. And so, like, there was still a couple tears, but most of them were like, okay. Then they got it. When I said, and we get to come back to the mall so we get a snack again. So then we got in, everyone got their bears. And on the way home, we made this video. I have it somewhere. I need to find it. It was like, best day ever. And we're like showing everyone on Facebook because they were following us. Like, we were kind of recording our journey towards Build-A-Bear. And we're like, best day ever. We're the first to get flat bears. And it just, it made me realize, like, first of all, if we hadn't had been working on this all year, how different like that moment could have been, you know, and it was just like us. And it was easy for me to say, like, remember what we've been working on. And it makes me see, like, anything that we're struggling with, if you put the time, if you put in the effort, it will make a difference in your kids, like in your parenting, in your family life. And instead of just like going along, like it's just grumbling, this is how things are. Like, no, we can change. We can be different. And even when I went back, because I was writing the book as we were doing it, like taking notes and stuff. Even when I was going back and like editing it, I'm like, wow, I just realized like they don't grumble when I ask them to do chores now. Like, I would say rarely. That's not a thing anymore. But that was like a big thing that we were dealing with. So when you do put the time and the energy and the effort and go to God's word and put the training in, it does make a difference. Like, we don't have to live like just at the status quo where we're at, we can change. And so that's kind of like where we got by the end of the year. Not that we're perfect. We still grumble, but we did it together. We're all part of a family. Like, even now I'm having the kids all sign book plates when we send them out. Like, people order our books, we'll send them a book plate with their names too. And they're like, wow, I always saw mom signing books. Now we get to have our names because they were part of it. Like, this is part of their story too. And so that's really neat.
I love that. I just want to cry about the flat bears. Like, that's so sweet. What a lovely story.
Yeah. It was, in the moment, it was like, what? but it was like, okay, we turned it around. It was okay.
That poor mall security guard, he's probably like, I do not
they
get paid
enough.
They were
so exhausted. And there's people like yelling at them and cussing at them. And so.
Teddy bear.
Yeah, over teddy bears. And so, yeah. So I'm like, tell them thank you. Tell them thank you for our flat bears. Like, it was hilarious.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So, Trisha, I wish that we had more time. What, though, I have one more question. What can you not stop talking about these days?
Oh, here's one of them. This is my second package of erasable gel pens.
What? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes. So they're erasable. And I actually heard it on another podcast. Someone talking about it was their favorite thing. And so I went and bought them. And this is my second pack. And my kids keep stealing them. But they're, because I really love a good pen. But I've been journaling in my kids' Bible. So I'm on my fourth kid. I'll take a year, get a new Bible for that kid. And as I'm reading through, I'll write prayers and journals and stuff.
Oh, I love that.
And so I love a gel pen, but sometimes you like mess up. And so erasable gel pens are like one of my favorite things.
Where do you get them? On Amazon?
On Amazon.
Yeah. Is there just the one brand?
They're Vans Tech. VanStek.
All right.
And then I've been bike riding with my family.
Okay.
So I just got some pants that have cushion in the booty.
Oh, good. Does that make a difference?
Yes. Okay. It makes a difference because we did 14 miles last Saturday.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Our kids are like old enough that we could all like go and ride for 14 miles.
Your little kids can go that far?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have any of them connected to your bike?
No. Yeah. Our youngest is 9 now. So I guess we have 2 9-year-olds.
Okay.
But they're finally at the point where, like, we all got on the bikes. Well, we rode this bike trail down to downtown Little Rock, and it was, like, 7.2 miles there. And then we, of course, had a ride back.
Let's just live here
now. The last, like, mile, all of us were, like, dying. But
I love that. That's a good idea. That's so fun. All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been so encouraging to me. And this book has been so good.
Well, thank you.
All right. I hope you loved that. I hope you're as encouraged as I am. She gave me some new ways to handle things that seem like a lot better than what I was currently doing. So great. Parenting is hard. So many on-the-fly decisions have to be made. And my go-to is to be kind of a snarky, sassy jerk face. And that isn't always the best route to go, I'm learning. So what will your strategy to struggle well be this week based on what Trisha said? One thing that I realized, as she said, they would all go on a family trip at the end of the year if they all had made progress. And I said I would want everyone to be perfect all year. So I think that expectations that are realistic is really difficult, at least for me. I'm hoping I'm not the only one out there. My daughter would say I'm the only mother out there who is not realistic, but I think it's not just me. So maybe this week you struggle well by seeing if your expectations are even realistic. Now, sometimes I'll say what I think is realistic and ask my husband, like, does that even make sense? And sometimes he's like, yeah, that totally makes sense. And so I'm not off 100% of the time. Maybe you have littler kiddos and you want to practice the behavior that you want to see before the event. Like she said, when she was calling her girl back in at the end of the day and she'd give her an attitude, they practiced ahead of time. Practicing is super helpful. I think it probably is with the bigger kids too, but I did it a whole lot more when my kids were really little. Something I think that would be helpful as we struggle well this week is to stay quiet and pray. Model for them taking a moment out when we need to. But staying quiet, oh my gosh, it is like the hardest thing. My daughter is such a sass pot. I don't even think that's a thing, but she is just a handful of sassiness, and I just want to be sassy back, because how dare you, and I'm better than you at being sassy, so let me show off my skills. But I really shouldn't. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm not being that mature. So sitting quiet and praying, the Bible tells us be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, and I have been getting that just backwards lately. I loved when Trisha said that when our kids act out, that we can step forward. We can stay calm, listen to them. And I think I'm realizing listening, but I'm not listening that well. I'm not listening to where at least my daughter feels heard, which is like the whole point, right? Just staying quiet for like 5 seconds longer than you wanted to stay quiet is not the same as listening to where they feel heard. So that's what I'm learning. So much to learn. How about getting into God's word as a family? I think honestly, if Trisha and her small country that she's raising can do it, we can do it, right? I love what she does, super simple, a scripture a day, have them write one, anyone that they want out, something that they're thankful for and something they'd like to pray for. That probably would not take that long. And I loved what Trisha and her husband decided that if her older kiddos grow up and go off into the sunset and they don't see him for a long time, that they can just make sure they're the soft place to land. I think that, very honestly, in my desire to have things go so well for my kids, I come down really hard on them sometimes because I love them so much. But I don't necessarily think I'm always creating a soft place. I think, if anything, everywhere else but me is soft sometimes. Anyway, so I think that's just something to think about, is what kind of place are we for them? What kind of environment are we creating? Oh man, I hope this was encouraging. And if nothing else, I hope you'd hear from me that you're not the only one that's not exactly sure what you're doing. But with God's help, we are going to make it through this and maybe even do a great job. If you loved part of this episode, will you share it with somebody that you think would enjoy it or get something out of it? It means so much to me when y'all tell me that tell everybody about this show. I love it. So thank you guys a lot. Hit subscribe. Make sure that you are coming back every week. Why in the actual world would you not? Next week, my sister and I are going to do some struggling in front of you. And we are, I believe, trying pumpkin spice spam and zombie Skittles. So, wow. It's not all we're going to be talking about, but we're definitely going to do some possibly very gross things next week. All right, y'all, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you that even when we are in the middle of such confusion. We do not know how to parent these kids well, or we don't know the next step to take at work, or we don't even know if we should be working or if we should quit or if we should start. I mean, what's even, there are so many choices, Lord. Thank you that you're never confused. You're never up there biting your nails, wondering what's next. God, we know that you're not going to leave us. You saved us from ourselves. You've drawn us to you, and you don't change. So you haven't kind of gotten over us and you're just a little irritated, or you'd rather just kind of move on to other things. Like, you're in this with us and you're not going anywhere. And Lord, when the battle is so hard that we just want to run for the hills, would you give us endurance and remind us that we ultimately are battling on the winning side? We can take great encouragement from that fact. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.